Don't we all love children's books? I mean, I still, to this day, I would love to just sit down and read children's books. I have to have an audience, so I don't look like I'm just reading them for myself. But I love children's books. And one of my favorite books when I was a kid was The Monster at the End of This Book. It was one of my favorites. And today we have author DJ Hill joining us, who is a former pre-K educator. She's a poet, a mixed media artist. She lives and creates in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this is her first book. It's Who's That I Hear? It's her first children's book. But she also has a big collection of poetry called Homespun Mercies. She won the New York City Big Book, a Benjamin Franklin Award in Poetry, which has received some honors. And her mixed media has been on exhibit at R2 Gallery and Red Brick Center. I mean, she is a busy, busy lady, and she's taking time out for us today. DJ, thanks for being here.
Kelly, I'm so excited to be with you. Thank you.
So you have written a children's book. Obviously, I can read when I'm looking at your, you know, your credentials that you love kids. You're a pre-K educator, or were a pre-K educator. So this book, kind of an updated take on the Sesame Street classic that I love, The Monster at the End of This Book.
It is, yes. That was one of my kids, when they were young, their favorite book. And I used to read it. You know, do the whole grower voice and everything. But when I first wrote this book, it was a poem to my kids when they were young, and they were having a hard time sleeping and having bad dreams. And I thought of Monster at the End of This Book, but wanted to write something that would invite the child in to solve their own fears at night, to give them the opportunity to feel that sense of accomplishment that, oh, I'm kind of afraid, but I'm going to go up and I'm going to see what this is. And it was a fun book to write.
I bet. Now, how long did it take you to write this book?
Oh my gosh, I wrote it when they were small. Everyone said, well, you know, how long did it take you? And I say to them, I'm sure I was up late night when kids, you know, when they can't sleep and you're going in and out of their room. I don't remember how long it took. I was a young mom with dark circles under my eyes, and so it took a while to publish, though. Like I said, I wrote it decades ago and put it in a little tiny notebook, tucked it away, did all my parenting, and found it a couple years ago and showed it to my husband, and he said, why are you not turning this poem into a children's book? And I thought, why am I not? So that's how that all came to be.
So you did it. You decided to do it.
I did it. So, yeah, young parents, you know, they can do anything. They're so busy. And
All right. So now tell me a little bit about the book. I mean, most children's books are full of pictures and colors. Do you have that built into your book as well?
Yes, we do. I have a great story about the illustrator of this book. Before we moved to Santa Fe, we lived in a small town in Colorado, and I had an artist collective there, and one evening we were open, and this beautiful bright light came in, and I introduced myself, and I said, well, why are you here? And she said, I'm doing a painting class with the business next door. And my eyes kind of lit up, and I said, oh, so you paint. Have you ever thought of doing a children's book? And Julie, our illustrator, said, I've always dreamed of illustrating a children's book. And so it was one of those serendipitous things that happened. And I gave her one of my sketching with the words. And she came right back to me with this picture, this sketch. And I said, you know exactly what the feel and the vibe is of this young character. And so go for it. And that's how we communicated. We texted back and forth images and words, and she did just they're beautiful watercolors, and they really make the characters come alive.
How exciting is that? Now, of course, you wrote the book a long time ago, but now when you brought it back forward, when your husband said, come on, you need to do this, you meet this illustrator. When did she start doing the pictures for your book?
Pretty much right then. We were talking about that the other day. I had just finished Homespun Mercies, which was another long journey. It was 21 years of writing and editing poems, and I had no interest in doing another book. It was like, I'm going to take a break and do something creative in a different way. And then I met Julie, and we went at it right away. So it was probably 2 or 3 years before we had it ready to go to print.
So has this been recent, though, that you met her, or was it a long time ago?
That was probably 2 years ago that I met her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of right before you decided that you were going to do something with this, you're going to turn it into a book, and then you happen to meet her and like, wow, how is all this happening? And it's like it, just one thing after another, it started happening.
That's exactly it. I mean, we had finished that, and my publisher, Elisa at Light of the Moon, said, do you think you'll write another book? And I said, well, I've got this little tiny manuscript for a children's book, but, you know, I'm just going to take a break. So there's this quote, Kelly, that says, when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. And that's exactly what happened. Everyone that we needed to do some aspect of this book appeared.
Oh.
And just like that.
I love it. I love it when that happens. I do. Now, you are
a poet.
And so when I think of poets, a lot of times, not everything rhymes, but you think rhymes when you think poetry. So is this a rhyming type of book, or is it more of a story without the rhymes? Like, you know, you think Dr. Seuss, it's rhyming and it's fake words and it's fun. Is your book more of a rhyming book, or is it a storytelling book?
To me, it's a storytelling book.
Mm-hmm.
It was written as a poem, like I said, but when children read it and when parents are reading it to their children, I don't think they're saying, oh my gosh, I'm reading Dr. Seuss and everything, you know, you've got these end rhymes and it's very obvious it's a rhyming book. I don't think this book is. And I think that it is surprising for kids. It, you know, just like Monster at the end of this book, you know, you kind of are nervous to turn the page to see what happens. But at the end, I think children are comforted. It's fun. We've been getting, we've asked children and their families to send in pictures of themselves with the book. And what a great response. If I showed you this collection, it's this beautiful wall of kids and parents, and it's been so fun.
You know, I think about the world that we live in right now, and I don't know if you've notice this, or maybe it's just in Minnesota. We always laugh here because we have Minnesota nice, and nice Minnesota nice can be being honestly truly nice because we got a good spirit, but it also can be like not being nice but not in a upfront way. And so the world we live in right now is like, when you're driving, you feel like there's a lot of anger right now, and people are just out there kind of, they have no empathy for anyone else. And I know that in your book, your idea here of this book is, you know, I want to help children, empower them, help them build empathy and give them that power. Is that kind of the idea of your book, is to try to give people that power of, you know, let me see what it's like from someone in different shoes than mine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm seeing, you know, we're all seeing this what's been happening in our culture and in our cities. And we just thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to introduce children to the idea of having empathy for someone, you know, different than them in whatever way that looks. And as I said before, empowering kids to not, you know, sit in bed and, Mom, Dad, come into my room. I need you to solve this for me. No, we wanted to empower them while they were doing that. And we actually, Kelly, we're going to release this book. It was ready to go in August of 2020. And every time I think of August of 2020, I have to take a deep, deep, relaxing breath. Things were pretty crazy right then. And but we waited. We waited to publish it because our group of creatives, we wanted to think about other ways that we could, you know, we want the book to communicate these things to kids, but then how could we go even further in supporting parents and kids and all the things they're dealing with, you know, and the remote learning and all these ways? We thought, how could we be of help? So we actually created a website called owletsco.com, and we will start doing filming videos, Story, Portrait Media, and Film Nest Studios. We'll be filming videos similar to Fred Rogers, where we take the kids out into the world virtually, and we meet people of different cultures, and we find that we're more alike than we are different. We're so excited because we're just getting into the process now of writing scripts for that. So this is what we want to do, and this is what we see is so needed in the kind of crazy world we're living in, just so that kids have this sense of of place and knowing they're loved and cared for and valued. So it isn't just the book. We have all these other projects, but I think the book is a great avenue in.
Oh, that sounds like such a great idea. I just remember growing up with Fred Rogers, and really, I mean, no matter where you live, you are still surrounded by just what you are around, unless you have some outlet like that. And we have so many outlets that are way much more than what we really need kids to see. But, a lot of it is not, there isn't anything that's just like, hey, take a look at this. This is the real world. Look, people are a little bit different over here, but we're all the same. And look at all these differences, which makes us wonderful. I think that it's a great avenue that you guys are going down.
Exactly. Well, I mean, how boring would it be if we all looked, talked, acted, thought all the same way? It's this tapestry of us as humans that I think is so beautiful. And I think it's so easy to focus on the negative and not look at the beauty that exists outside your house. Yes, I'm well aware of all of those things that are going on, but I also know if we want to get our kids from here to there, we need to start looking at the things that will help them grow and help them expand their horizons. So,
Well, tell me a little bit about the character of your book. Is it based on a child, or is there several characters in the book?
I have to tell you this, Kelly. Again, this serendipity thing is just is so wild to me. So when I first gave Julie the little sketches that I had made from the book way back when, she said, well, I'm just going to go with it, and I'm just going to create this character from what I imagine he would look like. And when she sent me back that painting, I dropped my jaw because it looks just like my son. It looks just like my grandkids. Oh. And it was like, how did you know this? Have you seen a picture? And she was like, no, it just, she has this very, this great sense of, she literally went into this character and said, how would he move about the room? What would his facial expressions be when he hears this noise? What would his determination look like when he decides he's going to solve this for himself? And she did a beautiful job. She just did an amazing job in the characters. As I said, there's our hero, and then there are some other little characters in there that I find both charming and reassuring for kids. So. And humorous as well.
Yeah.
So it's just a great book.
I never thought about that part of it. As an artist, you know, she has to go through the book and think about what the facial expressions would be as they're hearing this sound or what they're expecting. And then you also have to think of the other side, like the viewer of the book who's looking at my picture, how are they going to feel when they see that expression on the child's face?
Yeah.
So many different things to think of.
Yeah, we spent a great deal of time talking about this and about where will the boy go from here, or the character, where will this story go, and how can we create, you know, I thought a children's book would be much easier to write and to publish. The kids are savvy. They know what they like and they know what they don't like, and they know what keeps them captivated. Mm-hmm. And so we've already been discussing the ways we can bring inclusivity into future books, the way we can bring in, Fred Rogers was so great at bringing in difficult subjects and allowing kids the opportunity to express their feelings about that. And so we're already having that conversation. We have a group of people that giving us input into both outlets and our future books. And I asked Julie, I said, well, you know, if this child had a pet, what would that pet look like? And she just sketched it out. And then I said, well, show me how you did this character. And she drew it. And then she said, oh my gosh, I realized I just drew this main character as an adult. And she said, we not only don't have to stop when this character goes through life, but then it can become this character having kids of his own.
Oh my goodness.
And
yeah.
When you think about that, it can affect generations, how we respond right now in this moment to help kids and their families. is going to have a ripple effect in the future, and we can't do enough, in my opinion.
You're right. If you're just joining us, we're here with author DJ Hill. She's got this great, wonderful children's book. And where can we get the book? And what is the exact title of the book, DJ?
It is Who's That I Hear? So you can Google Who's That I Hear or DJ Hill. We local booksellers in Minnesota, you can order online through Red Balloon, which is in St. Paul. You can go to owletsco.com, and we have several places where you can purchase it. Right now, all you have to do is enter in the title and I'll show you. But if you want specific links, go to owletsco.com.
And Owlets is like an owl, owletsco.com.
Right.
I love
that's
that.
That's right.
I love
and all,
it.
And all the kids that become part of our, you know, part of our website and part of this journey of exploration are our owlets. And I just can hardly wait to take them and see what exists in the beautiful world and what we encounter.
Well, this is going to be really inspiring. You say you may not be wanting to write another book, but now, I mean, I'm thinking that you're probably going to be uplifted by so much that it just might happen.
It's interesting. I don't know. I do have another collection of poetry, a chapbook coming out spring of 2022. It's called Of Ash and Fire, and Twin Cities artist Susan Solomon will be doing the cover, and some of her gorgeous art will be in the chapbook. So that's something to look forward to. But I'm already starting to work on the future books after
Who
Said I Hear, and of course Owlets. So we're only just beginning.
I love it. DJ Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Who's That I Hear? You can pick it up today. All right. It's time for news.